Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this month with His fadl, with His grace and His mercy, and He's given us the ability to arrive to this part of Ramadan, for we don't know about tomorrow. And Allah ta'ala, please give us more fadl so that You can allow us to complete the month of Ramadan. And in this blessed month, this holy month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us beautiful and unique hikmas. He's filled this month with beautiful and unique wisdoms, and our minds cannot reach to that position to understand that what great, great and fantastic, brilliant wisdoms are present in this blessed month. And where our minds get to or reach to and allow us to see them everywhere around us, all over the place, in this great month, in this universe, there are barakat beyond blessings, beyond blessings. Allah has given us great blessings in this month. And us, our whole deen that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, the whole deen, the whole way of life, which is the way to success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such blessings, such mercies, such generosity, that in this month of Ramadan, during this month, Allah has refreshed us. Allah has revived us. If we think a little bit, that what were we during before Ramadan and what are we now? That the human being was full of impurities, contamination, sins, and now what we are. The whole year long a person is filled with impurities. If he passes away like that before Ramadan, then how will his death be? But Allah's karam, His mercy, that Allah Ta'ala in this month refreshes and recharges and revives the human being, the individual. So what we need to do is that Ramadan is gone, few days are left. So now, what we need to do is that we need to take this example and this opportunity and grab it and run with it. Now Allah has given us the chance to revive ourselves, refresh ourselves. And it's not necessary that always we'll get chances like this. This is Allah's grace, His mercy. He explained to us, He made us fresh. Just like a child is born fresh from the womb of the mother, in the same way that there's no part or pillar of the deen that Allah Ta'ala has left behind or made us not understand or that we have not revived or refreshed in this month. Obviously, top of the list, what we have learned or refreshed in this month, what we can see that is our base, that is our foundation, which is our pillar, which is our ibadat, our worship. Obviously, we've got refreshed in that. Allah Ta'ala has given us hukam, order the five times. I'll select the times and you will prostrate in those times. So that's Allah Ta'ala's selection. Get up in the morning and come. We have to. And prostrate to Allah. Why are we coming? To prostrate to me, Allah says. Subhanallah. Leave your work. Yes, the prime time when everyone's working, business, transactions, everyone's busy. Allah says, leave that. Why? You have to prostrate to me, Allah says. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because nor should the laziness of the night prevent you, and nor should the busyness of the day prevent you from doing prostration to Allah. Subhanallah. And then when this is the time of tiredness and laziness, and when a person's a bit drowsy, then hukam comes that this is the real salah. This is the right time, the genuine time that I've selected. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah says, Salatul Wusta. Don't leave that salah at all. It was at that time you've got dunya as well, and you're a little bit lazy. So what do you need to do at that time? Is come and prostrate to me, Allah Ta'ala says. At that time as well. Subhanallah. And then, praise be to Allah, when the sun is setting, when the sun sets and all of the universe is silent and everyone's in fear, what's going to happen now? Allah's order may be coming. The creatures, they are aware of that time. The angels are coming and going, the changing of the shifts. Allah says, this is a great, brilliant time. Quickly come and prostrate to me, Allah Ta'ala says. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is Allah's selection. This is Allah's selection. Okay, so we say, no, we're free. Allah says, no, you're not free yet. At that time, the full salah, then the rest of the night you're going to be lazy, I'm going to give you bed and you're going to feel sleepy and you're going to enjoy yourself. I've given you total permission of Sharia enjoyment. So before you go, Allah says, I want to prepare you. That is the time for you to rest. May not be that you forget your Rabb at that time. So before you depart for sleep, remember your Rabb and prostrate again once more, Allah says. So the first salah, the name was given Fajr. Second salah is called Salatul Dhuhr. Third one's name is Asr. Fourth salah's name is Maghrib. And the last salah of the day is Isha. Subhanallah. What a beautiful gift Allah has given to us, isn't it? But we've forgotten these. So Allah wanted to remind us. So Allah said, to remind you, I'll make you work a bit harder in Ramadan. So Ramadan reminds us of salah, ibadah. But let's just do a bit extra. Bit of extra. Yes, so look where Isha is stretched out after. Yes, Allah says, I'll make you do a bit extra. And we go to 20 rakats extra after Isha. Allah Ta'ala, the needle's gone up higher on the gauge. Because Allah says, I want to refresh you, your deen, so that you're awake. Because you'll slip and slip and slip. So at least come back to the genuine action. At least then after Ramadan, you'll continue to do the fard. At least when you slip, 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 you'll reduce at least to the fard level. So, if we go into more detail, that these are beautiful discussion we're having here about Allah's ibadah, and we could carry on forever. But anyway, so Allah's Ramadan has refreshed us, revived us. Allah says that in what you've learned, one thing from this month is that you need to prostrate to me. Doesn't matter what come, may, whatever comes. But the deen, the real lesson of the deen, the message of the deen is even greater than this, more higher over and above ibadah, worship. Allah says, okay, you're doing ibadah, you're worshipping, but there's a greater message, there's a greater ibadah, which is akhlaqiyat, manners, conduct, behavior. This is the real deen. This is the true deen. This is the real message of deen. So Allah Ta'ala in Ramadan has also refreshed, revived and renewed that message of akhlaq. It says that you are not in Ramadan now what you were before. No, I've refreshed your deen, your behavior, mu'min. He, for example, should be sympathetic and warm-hearted and hear people's problems and distribute money and have no enmity with anybody, no have no enemy with any envy for anybody. No malice, and he is not violent, aggressor, he's not a terrorist, he's not a gangster, he doesn't hit people, beat people, he doesn't destroy people's buildings. No, Islam, it doesn't allow a mu'min to do this. A mu'min is a walking, talking nur, light. He's got raham, mercy. Mercy is emitting from the mu'min, subhanallah. Raham upon raham, mercy upon mercy. Because the teacher who taught you, who I sent, Allah Ta'ala says, he came as rahmatu lil alameen, mercy to the universe. So where did these bad actions and evil actions come into you? You are oppressing people, dhulam, hasad, envy, beating people, hitting people. Allah says, where did you develop these habits? And on top you're showing that you're praying salah and you're doing violence, aggression. You've contaminated the deen, Allah Ta'ala says. You've mixed the deen, you're dishonoring the deen. You're dishonoring the deen. This is not the deen of Islam. This is not the case. So Allah Ta'ala is bringing us back to the right deen, that inside you should sparkle, you should be pure and clean, that your salah then should take you to the heavens. If your behavior is that platform, that within you should be pure, clean, glowing, shining. In other words, that the insan inside him is the kalima. The kalima, then how can our external actions be wrong? Just as a ghawth pak. Nurullah Marqada, he stated a great saying. Okay, fine, your cap is clean, your shirt is clean, your imama is clean, your kurta is clean, and your kameez is clean, and without these clean things, if they're dirty, your salah will not be good. You keep yourself externally clean and pure. But the real thing that should be clean, the most important thing that should be clean, is that clean? In other words, externally you've cleaned everything, but is your heart clean? Is that tawajjuh focus on your heart? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, pure, I don't want to see your face or your libas or your attire or your prostration or your salah. Allah ta'ala says, I want to see your enlightened heart that I gave to you. Is that clean? There should be sympathy, love and regard for others and raham, mercy for others and regard for others, love for other people. All these things I want to see. That there should be no enmity, envy, malice, hatred, jealousy in the heart. This is not the quality of a mu'min. So what a great topic. So Allah Ta'ala is refreshing this topic. Allah Ta'ala refreshed the topic of ibadah in Ramadan. But more over and above that, this topic should be refreshed. Subhanallah, that when we, after Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala says that in Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala brought this Ramadan about. Allah says, the ibadah that I'm giving to you, that is the restriction that you have, that you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't backbite, you shouldn't be envious of other people, you speak nonsense, you shouldn't slap anybody, you shouldn't oppress anybody. These are the restrictions, hurdles in Ramadan. Akhlaq restrictions. That this is the fragrance of fasting. When you get to the end of the month or the end of the day, iftari time, Allah says, this is what I want to see. That have you made your fast successful? Have you backbited against anyone? Have you said bad to anyone? Have you done dhulam, oppressed anybody? This is how I will gauge your fast and analyze that your fast a success or failure. So this is the story of the fasting person. The restrictions and the hurdles and the barriers during the fasting day are to elevate akhlaq,
conduct, behavior and manners, the stains on us that this Muslim is like this, this and this, Allah's wiped those stains away, the dirt of bad manners away. So this is the real article. Don't look 1, 2, 3 days, rather 30 days I've given you, Allah says, that work hard and struggle and strive and make effort in this month, that how do you elevate your manners and conduct and behavior, that the love between you, the regard between each other, the raham, the mercy, do you take money out of your pockets now and spend on others, do you give sadaqat and charity more than yourself, you're worrying about the poor people. Is this what you are doing now? Have you achieved that status? And Allah Ta'ala has given you great rewards for this, that to elevate you, to make you better. Even if you give as food one day to someone, Allah says, even upon that I will forgive you. I will forgive you. SubhanAllah, tell me. Isn't this the message? Allah says, one date, if you feed somebody, it's not due to the date. It's not due to the date that you're giving, not to the physical action, but it's due to the sympathy in your heart that this is all you had to give, due to your love and regard for the other person. Allah says, I forgive you. That how with love you are presenting that, hey, please break your fast. Here's the date. You see this, isn't it? When brothers go, when people go to Makkah, Medina, may Allah Ta'ala give, send you there, or if you've already been, you've seen this, that after Asr, the hosts there, they start, then they cry out, shriek out, Ta'alina, Ta'alina, come here, please break your fast with us, please break your fast. They call to the sufras in the masjid, and they call out, that please come to us, sit down on our food mat and break our fast with us. And this is the message of Allah, the message of Islam, and this is the regard and love that Muslims should have for another person. And it should never be that when you see someone who's upset, go and ask him, why are you upset? Why are you sad? Islam's message is that when you go to pray Salah in the mosque in your neighborhood, that mosque that you pray in regularly, when you go there, if by chance you see a person who's not present, he's absent, then the heart of the mu'min should be such that his heart should start to tremble. Why is my brother not come to pray? That is, he got issues? Not that you just go and pray and come back home and you don't know about anyone else. No, the mu'min, true believer, has feelings, regards that brother, he hasn't come to do prayer. Is he sad? Is he immersed in difficulties? Has he got issues? Or is he ill? Or has he got challenges? He goes and knocks on his door. Are you okay? You fine? You didn't come to Salah today to the masjid. What's happened? So that's it. Obviously, when he goes to ask, if he tells that person, then in turn, the person who he went to ask, if he gives, presents his problem, he'll run to his aid. I'll help you, I'll assist you. He'll put all his issues behind him. And this is the concept of deen. That's why the masjid has been made. Just not to, when you pray Fard Salah, go away and pray the rest of your Salah at home. Allah says, don't make this a place of just prayer. Don't make your homes a graveyard, because this is a meeting place for you to come and meet together when you prostrate here, after prostrating within the masjid. And this is the biggest pillar of the deen, the concept of Islam, sympathy, akhlaq, good manners, that meet each other, ask each other, how are you? After Salah in the masjid, 5 times a day Allah gives us a chance. The people who pray Salah, are you okay? Is your health okay? No. I'm well, I'm sick, I've got a pain in my head, I can't get to my car. No problem, I'll bring your car to you. You don't need to struggle. So this is the reason of deen, the reason we come to the masjid is to meet and to exchange our issues and help each other. No other reason. This is the greatest meeting place, the masjid, so that we can meet each other. How should we meet each other? For the sake of Allah. In the name of Allah, you do dhikr of Allah, do ibadah of Allah, and then we see each other, we greet each other, and we ask about each other. But we forgot all of this. So what a great message, a concept of Islam, of akhlaq, of manners, behavior. Alhamdulillah, Allah's fadl, Allah's grace. Praise be to Allah, that Allah Ta'ala has given us the third odd night of the final 10 days of Ramadan, alhamdulillah. So from tonight, the angels will start to descend again, and we sat in this masjid, whilst we're sitting, another night of Laylatul Qadr will start. SubhanAllah, and we'll go from one Jannah to another Jannah. SubhanAllah. So in the hadith it is stated that there are so many barakat, so many blessings in Ramadan, so many blessings. Allah Ta'ala states that if I was to open your eyes properly and you were to see that how many angels right at this moment in time have descended to the earth for your sake, you would not be able to walk freely. That is the amount of space they've occupied. So we're just sat here, isn't it? What do we know? That the third door of paradise is open for us, alhamdulillah. The 25th of Ramadan night, Laylatul Qadr, is not a small thing. The night of power is not a small thing. The whole universe, it changes suddenly. One Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, stated, I remember this event. He said that he was a sailor. He used to travel on the ships, on the sea. And he said to his friend that, you know, once on a night I was sailing, traveling, what did I see? That the water of the sea became honey. It became honey. Yeah, he said. He said that when I was taking a sip of the drink, like water, it was honey. And he said, I thought it was water. And what's happened? Is my tongue gone? Some problem with my taste buds? Or, and his colleague, the other side, he said, look, man, why don't you know what's happening? Tell me, what night was it? He said, I said, quickly think, what night was it? What night was it? Assess, I'll tell you now. I've understood why, what feeling you had, what you saw. He said, what night was it? He said, yes, I think it was the 23rd or the 25th night of Ramadan. He said, silly, that was the night of Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. Haven't you heard from the Holy Prophet ﷺ that on the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, the universe changes? We look at the tree, but it's not the same tree. In reality, all the trees are bowed down. They prostrate to Allah on that night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows these signs to the human beings. And Allah says that, I will tell you on the 27th night, the things that people saw, the signs of Laylatul Qadr. And not just one, thousands of people have seen the signs of Laylatul Qadr. It's not some supernatural thing with the eyes they've seen. When we walk on the street, we see the trees. All the trees at this moment in time are bowing and prostrating. So he said that this is it. You're right. You have seen. You did taste the honey. That when the night of power comes, Laylatul Qadr, the world changes. And the water of the seas becomes like honey. It becomes like the pond of Kawthar. That taste, that was the taste you were enjoying. He said, this is it, that's the night of power. Is that how it came? What a great night it is, tell me. So much barakah, so much blessing. Night of power. What is Qadr? Power means piety, status, elevation, power, glory. Allah says, you don't know what is the status of Laylatul Qadr. You cannot understand. What can I say to you? Allah says, I cannot tell you in this world. I will explain. Allah can tell us in this world. But Allah says, your brain will never understand it, accept it, absorb it. When you come to me in the hereafter, Allah says, then you'll realize what were the nights I gave to you, the reality of those nights. So this is the night we're in. It's about to start. So in reality, it was one night. Now listen to this. Akhlaqiyat, we started the topic of akhlaq, manners. It was one night, the night of power that Allah Ta'ala had given. And Allah gave it easily. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was called, alhamdulillah, and Allah said, that tell your ummah, go and tell your ummah that this is the night of power and do what you need to do in this night. In other words, Allah, he said that you don't need to stay awake in all the nights, rather I'm giving you one night, tell your ummah. Subhanallah. And this is your sadaqah, O Prophet, my beloved Prophet. So the Prophet ﷺ was very happy. The Prophet ﷺ was extremely happy. Oh, this is very good that we don't need to seek Laylatul Qadr the whole month, my ummatis. They don't need to seek the whole month, because he knew that a time will come, a generation will come, people, they won't even have enough time to seek the goodness so that they can even come in Ramadan to pray Fajr in the Masjid. No, I've got to go to work. What can I do? I need to go here and there. Oh, Dhuhr is Qadha. Asr is delayed. Fajr is delayed. Oh, I pray I'll join them all together. Men and women, they're all working nowadays, aren't they? Everyone's working. We don't know. Nobody knows who should work and who shouldn't. Who should be doing and who shouldn't be doing. We've changed all the principles and the laws now, haven't we? So Salah is being delayed nowadays, being left. Yes, for the sake of bread and water in Ramadan. So Allah said, I'll give you the night of power. One night, tell the people, oh my beloved Prophet. So the Prophet ﷺ came to tell the people, and then he saw a scene related to akhlaq. These were the Sahaba companions. Allah Ta'ala put His hikmah into this event. This was an event Allah Ta'ala set as an example for the people to come after. So two companions were arguing, quarreling. Obviously when there's quarreling, there's a little bit of verbals exchange. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arrived and saw, then Allah Ta'ala, what He told the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the secret about the night of power, that going to tell the people, Allah Ta'ala took that away from the mind of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, removed it. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam felt very upset. He said that I had come to give you a very good piece of good news for the whole ummah until Qiyamah. But you have done such a bad action, such an impure action, such a bad action, such an impure action. Imagine here now, brothers, that quarreling, fighting, clashing, facade, disputes. There's a very big point, a foundation point of Islam, that due to quarreling and fighting and hatred, the whole ummah was devoid at that time of that great barakah that Allah Ta'ala had sent the Prophet to spread that message. Imagine. Due to which, that we are in desperate need to improve our akhlaq, our manners, our conduct in our deen. It's extremely important. How can a person imagine that a big punishment is being given to the ummah, and how much the Prophet ﷺ felt sadness? He went silent. They suppose they've done wrong. They're only quarreling or fighting. We say that, don't we? We just give answers. But fighting in the home, fighting amongst relatives, fighting amongst brothers, fighting amongst sisters, quarrels amongst brothers, disputes. And in Ramadan we do this, and we are seeking Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, the night of Qadr. Tell me. Yes, can you ever see in Islam the concept of fighting and quarreling? How can this be? What a great night is about to come, about to start. What a great message Islam has given. The understand Islam. If you want to please Allah, if you want to attain paradise, it's not an easy step. You can't just get it from four prostrations. This is the whole life where we need to question our nafs and fight with our nafs. That whoever does zulm with us, we should do good with that person. That's the glory of a Muslim. If somebody snaps you, present him with flowers. If somebody breaks with you, then join with him. Subhanallah. So don't compete. Don't give revenge. No, and only in one place where a person, even if, for example, there's an example of where you can do something or take a step, and even then you should do dua in the heart. Then when a person, for the sake of deen, is doing something wrong in respect to the deen, you say, look, my son, why are you doing wrong? My daughter, why are you doing wrong? Or my sister, why are you doing wrong? Or my friend, why are you doing wrong? At that time, there's a had, there's a boundary that you can meet that person and explain to him and give him nasiha that don't do wrong. But if we take the reverse, opposite, he's doing bad and you have sympathy with him, love and give him money and food and buy a house for him and a car for him, then you are including yourself in the sin. Because you don't feel that person is doing wrong. You're not doing tarbiyah, you're not improving that person when the person does sin. And the person who supports a sinful person, then the hadith states that that person also is also included in the sin. If someone's doing zina, you're hiding that person's zina, adultery, fornication, and you don't think bad of it, then you're included. Yeah, in that there should be dislike and hatred in the heart for a sin. Yes? That a person's leaving the deen, which has taught us the right way, and to leave the bad way and the wrong way. So that person's akhlaq, the conduct and manners, teach a Muslim that you dislike that the action of that person, not the human being. No, there can never be hatred or enmity with the human being who's sinning. No, you are disliking that person's amal, his deeds. For example, a person sitting and he's eating something dirty, for example. Yes, something bad or burnt out. So you won't hate that person. Rather, what he's eating, you'll dislike that. You won't have a like for it. So if a person's sinning, so you'll dislike the sin and you won't support the sin of that person. Otherwise, you'll be included in that sin as well. Yes, so it's dislike for the action, not the person. So these are all levels of good conduct and manners. And it's been given advice to us Islamically that don't hate a person. Don't dislike a person. Humanity teaches us insaniyat, humanity, that you cannot dislike anyone. If somebody has a link with a deen or a religion, then humanity, doesn't matter any religion in the world, the first teaching is that we have to treat people as human beings with humanity, sympathy. So Allah Ta'ala says that, I've made you as a nation of Muslimin, I've split you into tribes and castes. Somebody's been Siddiqi, Faruqi, Sadat, etc. Different tribes and different families. Allah says these don't have a status upon other statuses. Allah says, I've made you as castes and tribes so you can recognize each other. He's Patel and he's this and whatever surnames or end names we put. If he says, I'm a Patel, not that because I'm higher than someone else. No, it's just for your recognition. Allah says that I'm this, I'm Sayyid, I'm Faruqi, I'm this. You cannot elevate yourself and show off. Rather, then you have more responsibility if you expose yourself. Some people say, oh, he's telling us his name, family name, his clan, so that his respect increases. No, Allah says that this is not respect. This is your introduction. So you can also be ashamed that I am attached to this tribe or caste or clan or family, so that you can remind yourself to do good. You remind yourself to never be staunch or arrogant that I belong to this clan and tribe. Allah says, this is not your introduction. Allah says, the person is not high in Allah's sight who's got these names. No. Allah Ta'ala says, close to me, high in elevation is the person who's the muttaqi, who's got taqwa. Who's got stronger taqwa. Whose taqwa is higher, whose iman is higher. Thousands from amongst thousands of people, you have pious elders. You'll see the history of the awliyaullah, the waliz Allah of Allah, that they didn't have a necessary a strong link to a strong family connection or clan or tribe, but they had strong taqwa. And this taqwa that we've just discussed, the akhlaq, is the meaning of taqwa, not sajda, not prostration. We think the person who does more ibadah worship is a muttaqi. No, the person who leaves more the sins, he's more of a muttaqi. Who is telling us this? Who told us this? This is the lesson of Ramadan. Ramadan is telling us this. So my brothers, Allah Ta'ala, His karam, His generosity, He's given us this in Ramadan, this message, and we've refreshed ourselves. We've understood these points today. That our deen, our religion, it takes us towards high level conduct, manners and behavior. We need to continue this after Ramadan throughout the year, through our life, alhamdulillah. And secondly, that today we are lost. And why have we not attained the night of power due to fighting, quarreling? So what we should do in our lives, close the chapter of fighting, quarreling, disputes, because the night of power has come. And this is okay, fair enough. If for some reason fighting and quarreling is dirty, impure, and it's hidden, Laylatul Qadr, from the sights of people, Allah Ta'ala said, okay, I'll give you 5 nights, 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th and 29th. Due to the quarrel, the one night of power disappeared. But Allah Ta'ala said, okay, I'll give you the 5 nights. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is also the fadl of Allah, Allah's hikmah, that before we were getting one, now we've got five. Subhanallah. The effort has increased, but we're getting 5 nights in which Allah Ta'ala has given us the opportunity. And whoever approaches these nights with yaqeen, certainty, whoever sits down, he will attain Laylatul Qadr. Now what is Laylatul Qadr? What does it mean he will attain Laylatul Qadr? He will get Laylatul Qadr. The meaning of getting Laylatul Qadr is this: the barakat, the blessings and the virtues Allah Ta'ala gives to that person. That means attaining Laylatul Qadr. The person who attains the blessings, the virtues that Allah Ta'ala has given. Some people say, oh, I'll see in the skies and I'll say things and I'll see things. I'll see the angels descending and the people are looking out for signs and lights. This will never happen. This isn't the meaning of Laylatul Qadr or what you want to attain. One Bologna sub was giving a speech in Karachi, and Subhanallah, people were there, itakaf, and he said that Laylatul Qadr night is coming, because we just think that the 27th night is Laylatul Qadr, and we put a lot of emphasis and effort on the 27th night, but it's foolish to waste the 3 nights before that. That what difference does it make if you wake up a little bit more, 1.5 hours, couple of hours in the night to seek Laylatul Qadr? So the Mawlana Sahib was giving a speech that this is the sign of, there are some signs of Laylatul Qadr, that this happens, or there's silence when the sun rises, and then the Fajr time there's rain, etc., different signs. So he said that there's a sign. Mawlana Sahib was given the bayan, and he said that on the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, dogs don't bark, they are silent. So all the dogs stop barking. So he explained this in his bayan. So in the night time, he was awake, he saw there was a majlis gathering of dhikr, and quite a few people were absent. The youngsters were absent. He said, where's everybody gone? The reply came that they have gone out, they're looking out in the street, they're going to the walls, the sides, and put their ears to the walls. Can they hear the dogs barking? If they can't hear the dogs barking, then they'll know that the night of power has come. And if they hear the dogs barking, they'll say, oh, it's not Laylatul Qadr, or it was another night and we missed it. This is just an example. This is not the sign of Laylatul Qadr. But this is not what it means, that we just look for one thing. Allah says, come and ask for me. And we sat down, Allah says, I'll give to you. Subhanallah. That's the meaning of Laylatul Qadr. That's all there is to it. Nothing extra. Allah saying that I'm calling you, come to me and ask for me. And we say, Allah, we've come. Now if we sit down on Laylatul Qadr and listen to speeches, bayans, big gatherings in masjids, this doesn't make sense. Think about it for a few moments. Does it make sense? As soon as the night of prayer starts, a person should sit in the corner. Solitude. This is the time for speeches and talking, listening to other things. This whole year we hear, we see, we get nasiha. This is the time Allah has given order. We should ask and obtain. Ask and obtain. Allah says, my treasure chests have opened up. Ask for me. What are you doing? Why are you distracted and diverted? Come to me. What should we do in these nights of power? So what should we do? That this night of power is coming. Go to the masjid. This is happening. There's something. No. Silently stand up. Go to the corner. Allah, I've come to you. And put out your sheet so that Allah Ta'ala can fill it. The very easiest way, the Naqshbandi order, sheikhs have said, that close your eyes and start to do maraqabah. Allahu Akbar. That's the best way to ask from Allah. When you do maraqabah, then your heart will be open, sparkling and glowing. That's what our Pious Elder said. When Laylatul Qadr comes, they start to do maraqabah, silent dhikr, and they assign themselves to Allah. They hand themselves over to Allah. What a great easy deen. And we're sat down, listening to bayan, speeches. We don't understand what Mulana Sahib is saying. Someone's looking here, that way, what's happening? We just sat down, speeches continuing, Mawlana Sahib's here, and naats and nasheeds. Yeah? This is good thing, but it's not compatible with this night. Remember, every time and every moment has an action assigned to it. So for Laylatul Qadr, these actions are not assigned to Laylatul Qadr. They're saying, ask for me, Allah, I've come, what do you need? Allah, I'm sick, I need a cure. I'm about to have an operation. Allah, I need your help. I need a shifa, Allah, cure. Allah will say, fine. Have you done tawbah? Have you know Allah what I gave to you? Did you understand the words I told you? Why did I give you Ramadan? Yes, Allah, I've asked you for forgiveness and I've understood the meaning of Ramadan. Allah says, okay, put out your sheet, put out your hand, your bowl, and here's shifa for you. Someone's asking for money, children, shop, business. Ask for whatever you want. Why? Because you've got paradise. You've already got paradise, alhamdulillah. So now you should ask for dunya as well, isn't it? Yes, because we live in this world. We have got some requirements in the world. Allah, I need this. Give me halal earnings. I'm upset. I'm stuck in interest, riba. Please take me away from riba. Interest, I've understood in fasting, month Ramadan. That if I break my fast with haram food, will it be accepted? So if I eat haram all lifelong, then how will my salah be accepted? So Allah is refreshing our deen. That one of your fasts is not accepted. If you break the fast with haram, a date and water, I will not accept Allah. So how will your whole life of ibadah, the worship, be accepted? So if we realize this, sit in the night of power, and we put out our bowl, and we beg to Allah, Allah, I'm consuming riba, but I want to leave it. Allah, create the means. Allah, I swear by Allah. Allah says that I will, Allah, I swear Allah, that I will leave it. Allah says, okay, fine, leave the gathering, and I will create the means for you. Your niyyah is correct, sincere. You're not greedy, oh, money's gone down now, it's gone less now. There will be hardship. There will be hardship. You promise, Allah says, whatever you want, you'll have to go through hardship. I want this watch, I want these clothes, etc. Allah says that the ease and the comforts will go. Then I'll give you from my own desire. Allah says, before you used to eat the dishes of your own preference and you used to put out the food, Allah says, then my preference will come. Do you want my preference or your preference, Allah? Oh, Allah, I want your preference. Allah says, then be ready and come out of the life of riba, interest. Okay, riba will come out of your life. Your debts will be evaporated, eliminated. But just do tawbah. Ah, what a great bargain. And Allah's given us a bargain transaction, and we're sitting in the masjid that time, night of prayer, listen to speeches. When the night passes, we come back. So where's the night of prayer gone? And I said once to Mawlana Sahib, Mawlana Sahib, in the Laylatul Qadr, the dua that you performed today, Allah, the 300 or 400 people's Laylatul Qadr has been wasted. Why? Allah says that you have to give the hisab for this. You have to give the hisab for this. Because dua, and Allah says that do a short dua, go ask from me, the doors are open. And yes, okay, fair enough, you did a lengthy dua, but the time finished, the time for Laylatul Qadr finished, the sahur time finished, that the whole existence and presence of Laylatul Qadr went, it was delayed, and you were asking for dua, lengthy dua, rejoicing, etc. But just do a short dua. And so sad, because everything has a time and a moment. So Allah Ta'ala is calling, come to me in the corner and ask your own dua, your individual dua, and you're asking for your needs in the dua or general things. What about my needs? You don't know what are my needs, my specific needs. For example, tomorrow I've got a kidney operation. You didn't mention my kidney. I need to ask for the dua for the kidney, or for the solution, for the cure. So I wanted to ask Allah for my left side kidney, Allah, please allow it to function. I wanted to ask Allah for this, totally. Did Musa alayhi salam not speak to Allah? He used to speak to Allah, didn't he? Yes. So why are we ashamed of asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah Ta'ala says, speak to me. Speak to me. That's the meaning of dua. Speak to me, Allah Ta'ala says. Oh, I need this, Allah. There's a pain in my eye. Allah, take this away from me, my pain in my eye. Allah, the water has stopped. Allah, open the water flow. Allah, you are going to do this all, aren't you? Tomorrow I've got to go, and I've got an appointment. And Allah, how will I get to the appointment? Please prepare a car for me so that I can go. These are the discussions with Allah that take place, aren't they? Don't they? So this is the connection. Now, don't we have a connection like this with Allah? So why do we have a connection with the dunya? Allah says, create the connection with your Mawla, with Allah. And Allah has given us this night so that we can promise and ask from Allah. So we sit in speeches in the Khanqah, and we've learned this in the Khanqah, brothers. Don't take what I'm saying badly. I'm not criticizing anybody, alhamdulillah. This is not my objective, to criticize anyone, to say bad to anyone, to put anyone down. Astaghfirullah. Who am I? I'm not even the dust on the shoes compared to you. I'm not even the dog in their coats of those good people who speak. But I'm just saying that everything that Allah Ta'ala gives, all the moments, the great moments, they have things that are assigned for those moments. So be careful tonight, don't get stuck in any lengthy talk or dua. Sit in the corner, present your heart. Tonight is the night of Laylatul Qadr. And I'll tell you this, I'm not saying this. The hadith, the style of the hadith, I'm explaining to you from the great statements of the pious elders, that the person who asks from Allah on the night of power, Allah Ta'ala most definitely will give him the night of power. Most definitely that person, 100%, most definitely the person will get the night of power. We shouldn't waste this night, okay? So many examples in front of us. and my stomach, my eyes, my hand, my jobs is problems, I'm consuming riba, and this, I've got to pay this person, that. The dunya things we have to ask, well, Allah's given us Jannah, isn't it? So I present to you, well, Dini, is my son is ill, my child is ill, these people argue with me, Allah, quarrel, Allah, detach these people from me, save me from these people, your whole list. Allah says, okay, this is happening. Then write it, ask for me, Allah will continue to sign. And sign off your request. So may Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. And the biggest message of the night of power, fighting, quarreling, and battles and facade and disputes. Stop this, eliminate these and change yourselves. Improve yourselves within. And anger is not the quality of a believer, mu'min. Gussa, anger, that do fake anger. When you want to give advice to someone, rectify someone, do fake anger. When you're telling of your children, are you ashamed of yourself? This is all fake anger. Yes, it's not genuine. And this fake anger you should do with your enemy as well. At the same time, just make him scared, do it fake anger. Fake, not real anger with anybody. No. And when real anger comes to you, then straight to understand that Jahannam is in front of you, hell, and you're about to go into hell. You're angry? Then look at hellfire, it's waiting for you. And you think you got anger? You're something big? No. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability to spend this night correctly. And the night of power is coming. Let's introduce ourselves to the night of power with dhikr, because the angels, the shift is ending. They'll say to Allah, and the other shift of angels will be descending for night of power. They'll say, where are you going? They'll say that they're doing dhikr, they're sitting down doing dhikr. They're waiting for you. Quickly go to witness them. They sat in the masjid to remember Allah. They sat there to remember, and this is Allah's mercy, isn't it? My brothers, this is not Allah's grace and generosity. And this is the time for dhikr. If we start doing other actions at this time, yes, the work of the deen. Yes, everything is work of the deen. But do the actions according to the time. That can you can't pray dhuhr at the time of fajr, can you? So this is not the time. So this is the time to ask from Allah. We need to do dhikr at this time. The angels are also dhakir. Yes, all the angels, they don't pray salah at this time. They don't pray salah. Yes, they're not giving sadaqah at this time. They're not doing hajj at this time. The angels are dhakirin. All angels are dhakir. They remember Allah. And they recognize the dhakir believers. They don't look at salah. He's praying prayer. That he's saying, is he got an issue? That wherever the dhakir is, this is a man, true man. This is the servant of Allah. He's doing dhikr of Allah. He's remembering Allah. Subhanallah, mashallah. So let's start dhikr, shall we? Inshallah. So that we can meet and greet the angels in a good way. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Ameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم هم لهم الله أبن فضلكم سمع رسالة غناه ما فرما دي صغيرة وكبيرة غناه ما فرما دي يا الله هم سب كي بخشش فرما دي پوری امت کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ ہمیں شب قدر نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ شب قدر نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ شب قدر نصیب فرما دے اے میرے مولا اس وقت تک ہم نے جو بھی دعائیں مانگی اپنے بارگاہ میں اس کو قبول فرما وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد و آلہ و صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین